Hello there, I'm Rob, and you're listening to the Black Country Talking News. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition, which is for the 20th of October, 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightless charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. And reading this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Charlene, Ed, Helen, Tanya, Ian, Simon, Pete, Angela, Liz, Craig, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news in the Black Country, and the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, information about RNIB group support activities, the weather, the return of Craig's Black Country joke book, sounds of nature, and rounding all that off, we get to hear a feature on Apple Day. But first, we have a message from our sight loss advisor, Pete.
Hello, to let you know that Beacon are now taking orders for new large print 2022 diaries. They come in different sizes, the smallest being an A6 pocket diary, right the way through to an A4 desk diary. Also, A3 portrait and landscape calendars are available too, so Beacon are now taking orders. If you would like your new 2022 diary or calendar for next year, give us a call on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor. That's 01902 880 111.
Now we have our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. Now we start, as always, with some local news, brought to us by myself, Rob, Liz, Ian, Ed, and first up, it's Angela.
The UK's leading countryside charity has called for 25 sites to be removed from a controversial plan that could see the region's greenbelt carved up for homes. The Campaign to Protect Rural England has urged council chiefs to review the Black Country plan, which would see more than 7,700 homes built on greenbelt sites. Thousands of other homes have been earmarked for green spaces that are not officially classed as greenbelt. The charity said there was no justification for building on such sites and called for housing allocations to focus on areas where homes were really needed, such as town centres and brownfield plots. It also questioned the methodology behind the region's high housing target and said the plan's policy on climate change was inadequate. A report highlighted 13 sites across Warsaw that should be removed from the plan on the grounds that housing would have a high impact on the green belt. The charity has also objected to the development of 5 sites in Dudley, including the Triangle in King's Winford and 7 in Wolverhampton. The move would remove just over 8,000 homes from the plan, which aims to build 76,076 homes across the region over the next 18 years, in order to meet government housing targets. Peter King, Vice Chair of the Campaign to Protect Rural England in the West Midlands, said the charity was not convinced that the evidence supporting housing plans for the Black Country Greenbelt was robust. He said, "We do not believe the loss of countryside, cherished landscapes and amenity spaces is justified, and we call on the four councils to review the opportunities for new housing where it is really needed in our town centres and other derelict brownfield sites around the Black Country.
COVID testing has been suspended at a Wolverhampton laboratory over false negative results, it has been reported. NHS Test and Trace is believed to have suspended testing operations provided by the Immensa Health Group Limited at its laboratory in Wolverhampton. It follows an investigation into reports of people receiving negative PCR test results after testing positive with a lateral flow test. While investigations are underway into the precise cause, NHS Test and Trace estimates that around 400,000 samples have been processed through the lab, the vast majority of which will have been negative results, but an estimated 43,000 people may have been given incorrect negative PCR test results between September the 8th and October the 3rd, mostly in the southwest of England. The UK Health Security Agency says the issue at the Wolverhampton laboratory is an isolated incident and there are no technical issues with the lateral flow devices or PCR test kits themselves. The number of tests carried out at the Immensa laboratory are small in the context of the wider network and testing availability is unaffected around the country, the UK Health Security Agency says. Dr. Jenny Harris, the head of NHS Test and Trace, has said it is not clear yet what went wrong in the private laboratory that has stopped operating due to fears people were given the wrong test results. She insists, however, that the rest of the system is working as normal.
Protests took place at a much-loved day centre for vulnerable adults in Dudley who believe the council is intending to close it. Woodside Day Centre in Holyhall was originally set to shut in 2011, but new plans, described as a shock and a disgrace, were revealed last month. It comes as the council has mooted the idea of creating a borough-wide hub called Infusion to be part of wider preventative services within adult care, within adult social care in Dudley. Labour councillor Elaine Taylor said, "There is very strong feeling about the closure of this borough-wide mental health facility. At a time when mental health presentations have doubled, the Tories have decided to pick on the most vulnerable yet again and announce the closure of mental health provisions. Services in Dudley are being cut and the tax is rising. Where is our money going, one must ask? It's like they want to block anything that helps residents support their mental health. First they decide to build on our playing fields, green spaces and green belt, and now this." Nicholas Barlow, Conservative Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said, "Cabinet is being asked to consider and support a move to provide a community-based mental health service. Evidence tells us that more and more people will need some level of mental health support, and this is about creating a service that can change and adapt to meet the needs of local people. It would see us continuing to work with key partners in the borough and we would support those already receiving mental health services as we transition to this new way of working and emerge from the pandemic."
The opening of Wolverhampton's civic halls could be pushed back further due to a disastrous state of ongoing rebuild, a senior councillor has warned. The much-loved venue has been closed since 2015 for a revamp that has quadrupled in cost to around £40 million. Council chiefs say the rebuild has been held up by a series of unforeseen issues, the most recent of which saw archaeologists brought in after a 14th century cobbled road was unearthed beneath the main building. The Labour-run authority is now hoping to hand over the halls to promoter AEG Presents in late April or early May 2022, ahead of a delayed reopening in the autumn. Conservative councillor Jonathan Yardley said he was not surprised the council had missed its handover date, which is understood to have already been pushed back 5 months from November 5th to April 1st. The vice chair of the Audit and Risk Committee said he was left shocked to the core by a lack of progress at the venue after he visited it this week. Mr. Yardley, who works in the construction industry and specialises in examining jobs that have gone badly wrong, said, "The building is currently in a disastrous state and it is hard to see how they are going to hit the completion date, which has already been pushed back. It looks like a job that's been going on for 4 months, rather than more than 5 years. There is far too much work to do. I have never known such a litany of catastrophic mismanagement by the council on a construction project. It took less time to build the Channel Tunnel.
A £3 million cash pot has been launched in a bid to help boost youth employment in Wolverhampton, council chiefs have revealed. Wolves at Work 18 to 24 will help young people currently claiming benefits into employment, apprenticeships, education or training. It comes after the city was left with the highest unemployment rate for 18 to 24 year olds in the UK, equating to 2,660 young people. Council leader, Councillor Ian Brockfield said, "Children and young people and youth employment has always been a focus and priority for the council and city. It features heavily in the council's relighting our city plans. Despite the fact that there are already extensive and ambitious programmes and interventions in place to tackle this challenge, they are not having the desired impact. Therefore, a reinvigorated and comprehensive programme of targeted interventions will now be developed. Wolves at Work 18 to 24 urgently delivers the step change needed in our city to give unemployed young people opportunities for secure, sustainable employment, apprenticeships, education or training. With the end of the furlough scheme likely to further exacerbate the challenge, it is clear that the council cannot address this challenge in isolation. It is therefore absolutely essential that the council leads and drives a coordinated and sustained response with city employers and partners, the West Midlands Combined Authority and government departments. A one city response with young people and their voices at the centre of every element of the response."
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon, back with another update for you. We're starting this week with a big thank you to everyone who took part in our Bright for Sight campaign. It was wonderful to have so many people wearing their brightest outfits in aid of people with sight loss, and what amazing outfits they wear. It's not too late to get involved though if you want to show your support. To donate £5, all you need to do is text BRIGHT to 70085. Text messages cost £5 plus one standard rate message. As you know, the idea behind the campaign was to raise funds to support our work, but also spread the message that bright colours and good colour contrast can really help people make the most of their sight. Next up, another thank you, this time to everyone who came along to our recent Lifestyle Open Day. We loved meeting representatives from our partner organisations and people with sight loss who wanted to find out more about what we do. If you want to get a bit more information about the services offered by Beacon, why not get in touch? Just give us a call on 01902 880 111. Alternatively, you can drop us a line via email at inquiries@beaconvision.org. That's inquiries@beaconvision.org. Next, it's time for our sight loss tip of the week. Did you know that the Humble Elastic Band can make a big difference for someone with sight loss? Putting one around an item when you need to identify it makes it that bit easier to know what it is, whether it's telling the difference between your salt and pepper grinders or shampoo and conditioner. If you haven't already, why not give it a go? It could make a real difference. Now, on to some more exciting news. We've got a new product launch. Our personalised wooden Christmas trees are now available to order via our Etsy shop. Our products are handmade in our Fab Lab, where people with sight loss and other conditions are involved, with our creations, as well as learning skills to help them keep their independence and increase it. Order yours now via our Etsy shop. Just search for Made by Fab Lab. That's all one word. You can also get them from the centre. Prices start from £12.95 and we even offer free delivery. Last but not least this week, it's recently been National Braille Week. Braille can make a real difference for people with sight loss, and thanks to funding from our friends at the Carton Network and Thomas Dudley Limited, we've been able to restart our Braille classes, teaching people how to use electronic Braille displays to access information on a screen. During the pandemic, we've delivered almost 40 sessions teaching people everything from the basics to the latest innovations. We're so proud to be sharing with our members how this 200-year-old system can be used in the 21st century. That's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll be back with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Now we have some more local news, and we hear first from Liz.
A taxi driver who threw a blind man and his guide dog out of his car in a row over £2 has been ordered to pay nearly £2,000. Dudley Magistrates Court heard that Zafar Ali left Nicholas Mills distressed and disorientated after ordering him and his dog Percy to get out of the taxi nearly 2 miles from his home. Mr. Mills, 59, who is registered blind and relies on his guide dog to get around, said he had been quoted £6 for his taxi fare home, but he told the court that Ali said after picking him up it would now be £8 due to there being a dog in the car as well. The court heard that Ali was working as a driver for A to B Falcon Elite when he received a call on August the 8th, 2019, to pick up Mr. Mills from the King Arthur pub in Hagley. When Mr. Mills disputed the increase in fare, Ali ordered him and the dog to get out of the taxi near to Stourbridge Golf Club, an area they were unfamiliar with. A golf club member responded to Mr. Mills' calls for help and found him in a distressed and disorientated state before driving him home around 2 miles away. Ali, 68, of Vicarage Road, Lee, had denied failing to carry out a booking accepted by his operator, with the reason for that failure being that the disabled person was accompanied by an assistance dog. The offence is contrary to Section 170 of the Disability Act. But he was found guilty in his absence at Dudley Magistrates Court on Friday, October the 8th. Ali was fined £1,000 and ordered to pay court costs of £595. He must also pay £200 compensation to Mr. Mills and £100 victim surcharge, with a total of £1,895 to be paid within 28 days.
More than 100 scrap cars went up in smoke after a fire broke out at a Black Country recycling plant. Fire crews from Walsall and the surrounding areas were called to recycling Lives on Tramway Road in Darlaston after the fire had broken out around late morning on Saturday, October the 16th. The fire had spread among scrap and cars on the site and produced a smoke cloud which could be seen as far away as West Bromwich and Wolverhampton. More than 50 firefighters battled the fire. Roads near the site were closed off to traffic and cars travelling on the M6 and Black Country route were forced to reduce speed due to the smoke. Jerry Marshall, CEO, was relieved none of his staff were harmed during the fire. He said, "We are incredibly grateful for the rapid response of the West Midlands Fire Service in quickly containing the fire and that no one was harmed. We have, as a matter of urgency, begun to investigate the cause of the fire and will be liaising with the fire service on this matter."
Wolves have been praised by health chiefs after it was revealed 100% of the team and coaching staff are vaccinated against COVID-19. The club is amongst only a handful of the 20 clubs in the Premier League who have publicly confirmed everyone has received their jab. And it has led to praise from Wolverhampton Council's top health chief for being great role models to residents and to the city overall. John Denley, Director for Public Health, said, "It's wonderful to see Wolves set such a shining example to their fans and to the wider Premier League that the best way of protecting ourselves and others from the deadly virus is to get fully vaccinated. Players and staff like head coach Bruno Lage are great role models for our city and are leading the way in this. There aren't many Premier League clubs who can say that all of the players and coaching staff have had their COVID-19 vaccinations. We are also grateful for the support the club has given to the vaccine rollout in Wolverhampton. From Bruno going on record to encourage others to get vaccinated, to hosting our vaccine bus, which proved extremely popular each time it was there. The Wolves Foundation also kindly donated a signed team shirt as an extra incentive for people to get their jabs. Wolves boss Bruno Lage previously confirmed he had taken both vaccines and said it was not a question. We all need to do the best thing to get back to normal life. He added, "That's why I did it, and that's why all my players did it. It's important for all the world, not only the players. The quicker we can return to normal, I think it will be good for everyone."
A campaign group against the demolition of the historical Dudley Hippodrome has taken their objections to the Housing Secretary. Dudley Hippodrome Development Trust has battled against Dudley Council's plans to destroy the Hippodrome for years, instead wanting to see a revival of the once-thriving theatre. Now the group has requested for Michael Gove, Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, to take over the planning application rather than letting Dudley Council decide. This has been backed by the public body for theatres, Theatres Trust, who feel that Dudley Council has not explored options for retention of the Hippodrome. A spokesperson for Theatres Trust said, "Theatres Trust does not feel that sufficient consideration has been given to exploring options for retention and positive reuse of the building, and there is a possible conflict of interest with Dudley Metropolitan Borough Council determining its own application. Furthermore, there are sustainability implications of demolition and reconstruction, which are not consistent with the Council's declaration of a climate emergency." Dudley Hippodrome Development Trust has said that they are remaining optimistic that the appeal to the Secretary of State will come in time. A spokesperson for the Trust said, "Art Councils England recently announced that Dudley was on its priority list for funding, meaning that if approved, money will be available to help kickstart the reopening of the theatre building."
An irreplaceable city church faces a bleak future unless urgent action is taken to improve its condition, the Victorian Society has said. The Darlington Street Methodist Church in Wolverhampton is one of the country's most endangered buildings, according to the Society, which monitors the state of treasured buildings from the Victorian era. They say the condition of the church is poor and deteriorating, with leaking roofs, signs of dry rot and structural cracking all evident. The Grade 2 star listed church, which opened in 1901, held its last service in September 2019. It has remained vacant ever since, despite talks over potential redevelopment. The Victorian Society's listing describes the Baroque-style church as a significant local landmark with its copper dome and twin west towers. It adds, "The interior has vaulted ceilings with richly ornamented plasterwork, as well as original gallery seating. It also features an organ by Nicholson & Co. of Worcester." Worship ended in 2019, followed by other functions in the large basement and adjacent halls and schoolrooms, leaving the building vacant. Security is a serious concern. There was a fire in the halls in 2014. The condition is poor and deteriorating, with leaking roofs, failing rainwater gutters, signs of dry rot, and in places structural cracking. This irreplaceable building faces a bleak future as efforts to find a purchaser have failed.
With another collection of questions to ponder over, up next we have Mina.
Hello and welcome to the Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. Which country offered a prize for preserving food for their troops? Question 2. In what year was the can opener invented? Question 3. How long is canned food expected to last? Question 4. How many beans are there on average in a standard tin? Question 5. How long does it take on average to recycle a can? And finally, question 6. What was champion bean sitter Barry Kirk's nickname? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thanks for those questions, Mina. I'll give those a good ponder. Up now, we have our third block of local news. And starting this off, we first hear from Angela.
A pioneering scheme giving people the chance to buy a new home for £1 has been launched in the Black Country. The £24 million Help to Own scheme, which has started with 12 new homes at the Marches development in Wensfield, Wolverhampton, is targeted at key workers and others who are struggling to get a foot on the housing ladder. In total, 100 homes at the site off Lakefield Road have been bought for the scheme, which bosses hope will be rolled out across other parts of the West Midlands and further afield. NHS staff and other key workers are among the first tenants of the scheme, which has been set up through a partnership between Wolverhampton Council, the West Midlands Combined Authority and Frontier Development Capital Limited. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street said it's particularly encouraging that a large proportion of the homes are being allocated, as we always intended, to our incredible key workers and frontline NHS staff, who deserve nothing less for their service during the COVID-19 pandemic. Increasing the supply of affordable homes across the West Midlands is one of the West Midlands Combined Authority's key goals, and it is why we have pioneered a new definition of affordability that links prices to people's income rather than the local housing market. Help to Own is a key part of our plans, and I look forward to working with our partners to roll the scheme out across the rest of the West Midlands as soon as possible.
Abandoned chickens were left running around an animal rescue centre's car park, the latest in a spate of animals dumped outside the centre. Staff at Broxwood Animal Sanctuary in Sedgley were alerted by a passerby that the hens had been left outside the rescue centre in Catholic Lane at 8:30 a.m. before it opened. One of the hens was so unwell that she needed help to drink and is still receiving veterinary care to try and rebuild her strength, while all of the hens were dehydrated and covered in parasites. Broxwood's director, Neil Swan, said, "We have a large number of chickens at the sanctuary, as sadly these animals have become throwaway objects to many people. In fact, almost all of our chickens were literally dumped outside our gates or physically thrown over the fence. It's really disappointing. If people talk to us, maybe we could help them and give them advice. Because if they're dumped, they might not make it. We have had a lot of foxes in the area, and sometimes we just find the feathers that are left behind from chickens dumped at 4 o'clock in the morning. The 6 chickens are all ISA brown hens, a crossbreed of chicken designed to produce a high egg output and can lay up to 500 eggs in their lifetime. Mr. Swan believes the hens are now unable to lay any more eggs, which is why they were abandoned at the Dudley Rescue Centre last Saturday. The director said, 5 of them are doing quite well now. They've explored, they're eating well, and they're playing with the toys in their large quarantine area. The other chicken was a lot worse, but she has improved. She's brighter and a bit stronger. Thankfully, it's nothing we can't turn around, so it's looking more promising."
More than £13 million will be invested in bringing 2 of Dudley Borough's sheltered housing schemes up to modern living standards. Plans to renovate Jack Newell Court in Sedgley and Woodhouse Court in Quarry Bank have been confirmed. The 2 properties were built in the mid-1980s and have 79 one-bedroom flats and communal areas for people aged 55 or over. An affordable housing grant of £4.8 million has been secured for the remodelling of Woodhouse Court and Jack Newell Court from Homes England, which together will, with almost £9 million of council investment, will provide modern, remodelled schemes. Councillor Laura Taylor-Childs, Cabinet Member for Housing and Community Services, said an independent assessment of the council's sheltered housing stock identified Jack Newell and Woodhouse as ripe for development and worthy of investment. "We've carried out award-winning renovations previously as Margaret Vine and Holloway Court sheltered housing schemes, and I know we can replicate it." She added, "This investment gives us the opportunity to improve the living standards for our tenants and secure the long-term futures of the buildings. We thank those tenants who we have supported to move out temporarily. Their support means we can carry out the work quicker and they don't have to live through the disruption of the building works. They will be given priority to return when they do. I'm confident they will be pleased with the end result."
Aldi could open more than a dozen new stores across the Black Country and Staffordshire over the next 2 years as part of ambitious expansion plans. The supermarket chain has pledged to open 100 new stores across the UK and invest £1.3 billion by 2023 in a bid to further grow its retail estate, as it continues to push ahead with plans to open an average of 1 new branch a week. The areas in the Black Country and Staffordshire where it is currently looking for sites include Bilston, Cannock, Codsall, Cradley Heath, Dudley, Merrihill, Sedgley, Stourbridge, Wensbury, Wolverhampton, Wombourne. Aldi, which now has more than 920 stores across the UK, is searching for freehold, town centre or edge of centre sites suitable for property development. The supermarket says it is on the lookout for sites that are big enough to accommodate a 20,000 square feet store and around 100 dedicated parking spaces, preferably on a prominent main road and with good visibility and access. Aldi will also be investing in the development of new and expanded distribution centres.
Darren Asprey, Chief Technician at National Express West Midlands, was named Road Transport Engineer of the Year at the Society of Operations Engineers Safety and Sustainability Awards. The 41-year-old from King's Norton was lauded for protecting customers and staff during COVID and reducing bus breakdowns by 47%. Adam Fraser-Hitchin, SOE President, said, "The SOE Safety and Sustainability Awards recognise special achievements of members who have demonstrated professionalism, expertise, teamwork and integrity over the past year in their engineering roles. We are delighted to be able to acknowledge these exceptional individuals and celebrate their success." Darren was nominated after finding out the root cause of several mechanical failures in the National Express West Midlands 1,600 strong bus fleet, and his work helped key workers needing to get to work in schools and hospitals throughout the pandemic. Ensuring passenger safety, Darren developed a seating map for social distancing, ensuring customers and drivers could continue to travel safely, which was used by other bus companies across the country. Darren said, "I was a little surprised and I'm extremely grateful to the SOE for this award and recognition. I'll be the first to admit that as engineers, we tend to just get on with the job that we love. But this serves as a timely reminder of the important role that we play in the bus and coach industry and that it should be celebrated. If I think about where I started 24 years ago and where I am now, it's been quite the ride with all of the projects and challenges I've worked on and the knowledge and skills I've gained."
Up next, we hear from Charlene, who has for us some news from the RNIB about support groups they have on offer.
Hi, my name is Charlene Kerr-Spencer and I work for RNIB, the Sight Loss Charity. My role is to deliver Living Well with Sight Loss groups within the West Midlands. These groups are delivered via telephone or video. You can choose your preferred format. The video is via a platform called Teams, and if you need a little bit of support getting set up for this, we can do that. The groups are over a 4-week period, and each session lasts up to 90 minutes. In the group, there are 12 participants, and each participant is either blind or partially sighted, or a carer or a friend of someone who is blind or partially sighted. Over the 4 weeks, the topics that we discuss are RNIB services, the services within your area, getting out and about, iHealth and wellbeing, daily living tips and technology, welfare rights and registration, leisure activities and hobbies, and an opportunity to set some goals. It has been fed back from many of the participants that the benefits of attending these groups is the peer-to-peer support, so the opportunity to share your experiences and learn how other people cope. Also, the opportunity to increase your knowledge, the opportunity to improve your independence, and also the opportunity to increase your confidence, to build your confidence and increase your well-being. After the groups, there is also an opportunity to stay together if you wanted to as a befriending group. Our Community Connect team would support this for the following 6 months. This is again a personal choice. And we also offer other groups, which we call our focus groups, which focus on specific topics. So the topics that we cover for our focus groups are wellbeing, money matters, confident living, introduction to technology, and we're also offering at the moment a family and friends pilot, which is a peer-to-peer support group for family and friends. If you would like to join one of these Living Well with Sight Loss groups, you can join via either by calling our helpline on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Alternatively, you can have a look on our website and look at our Living Well with Sight Loss page, which will have an online calendar where you could book directly onto the groups. Or you can also email our email inbox, which is lwwsl inquiries@rnib.org.uk. Just to add an extra note, these courses are free. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact our helpline. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Charlene. Up next, we have our final block of local news. And starting us off, we have Liz.
The wait is finally over for a Black Country railway station, as it became the nation's favourite station. Stourbridge Junction became the third station to win the World Cup of Stations competition, fighting off three formidable opponents in a public vote. The station, which was voted the top station for rail enthusiasts, was in the final for the second year in a row, having lost by 1% in the public vote to Glasgow Queen Street in 2020. It was taking on Avonmore, the most popular adventure station, Glasgow Central, popular for shops, and St Ives in Cornwall, voted the most popular for lovers of the seaside, in the 2021 final. Fans and friends of George, the station cat, took to Twitter throughout the day to vote for Stourbridge Junction, which led to the station having 71% of the vote early on, but with Glasgow Central closing up throughout the day. Station manager Simone Carter said it has been humbling for the station to be involved in the final again, and said it would be the final year of the station taking part due to the impending retirement of George. She said, "We have found it very humbling to be involved in this competition again, in what will be our last year as George is set to retire with his dad. It's a lovely accolade to be in the final again, and it's a great selection of stations to have in the mix in the final. And it's phenomenal that a small station like ours has made it through and put Stourbridge on the map."
Residents and staff at a retirement complex in the Black Country have celebrated after receiving the top award in the Britain in Bloom competition. The communal garden at Bushfield Court in Bilston, part of Midland Heart Retirement Living, was classed last year as outstanding by the judges. And this year, after entering the competition section in your neighbourhood, they have once again maintained the highest standard after being judged. Marie Barley, lifestyle coach at the complex, said, "We entered the retirement village into In Your Neighbourhood, a category in Britain in Bloom. We've done it for 3 years. Last year it was virtual, and this year we were lucky enough that all the residents got together and we got outstanding, the top award again. That's the rating we got before as well, and it's been great for our members all over lockdown to do some gardening. They had to plant stuff 12 months before the judges got there, and they managed to grow their own plants in the greenhouse. They've worked really hard. They've all pulled together. It's been a great communal effort." The effort had been supported by Morrison's Community Champions, who've donated both compost and plants to the effort. It was rated as outstanding on October 13th by judges from the Royal Horticultural Society, who presented a certificate to the garden group members. And staff and residents are showing no signs of stopping either, with the lifestyle coach saying they would definitely be entering again next year.
Briley Hill High Street is getting a £242,000 windfall to improve the town centre's war memorial. Historic England granted Dudley Council £1.8 million to deliver their Briley Hill High Street Heritage Action Zone project. Now the government has sanctioned £242,171 for improvements to the War Memorial Gardens to brighten up one of the key gateways into the town. The cash is also being used to clean up and improve the War Memorial, which sits in the gardens, as well as to improve a number of shops and business frontages in the High Street. Council bosses have started the procurement process for the garden works and hope to appoint a contractor next month, with the start being made as soon as possible after that. Councillor Simon Phipps, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "We are delighted and very grateful to receive this extra grant funding from Historic England. The work is well underway to clean up and improve the First World War soldier that sits atop the war memorial, and this extra funding will enable us to also make big improvements to the gardens around the memorial." He added, "It was an area of the town that had been identified as high priority for improvement work by residents and business owners and is a key gateway into the town. I've given authority for officers to cut through red tape so we can get contractors on site and working as quickly as possible, and I look forward to seeing the finished results."
The owner of the Hapney Green Wine Estate is celebrating a bumper crop of grapes and one of the top five harvests in the past 30 years. Clive Vickers helped his father Martin to plant the vines in 1983, and they go into making white, red, rosé and sparkling wines. He said, "We have a really big crop despite the year starting off with frost in April and wet weather in May. August was also disappointing, but in September the weather was good with lots of sunshine. We have a high yield and will be picking for 4 to 5 weeks. It has been an interesting year with a late start, but September and October have seen high temperatures and sunshine. The crop should make about 100,000 bottles of wine, when in an average year we would expect about 60,000 to 80,000 bottles. We have 15 different grape varieties and produce a big range of wines. These are available in our shop and restaurant on the site at Bobbington and in Waitrose and Aldi as well as independent merchants. Despite the poor start at the beginning of the year, things have turned out pretty good. Taking all things into consideration, I would say that the crop is in the top five of the past 30 years. People will have to wait for this vintage to be on the shelves from May next year."
The Way is preparing for a huge party to mark its relaunch after 18 months of pandemic restrictions. The bash starts at The Way Youth Centre in School Street, Wolverhampton, at 1 p.m. on Saturday, the 23rd of October, for all families and groups who would like to get involved with the Youth Centre, finishing at 3 p.m. A party for juniors aged between 8 and 13 then kicks off at 4 p.m. until 6 p.m, followed by the seniors' party from 7 till 9 p.m. for 13 to 19-year-olds. Guests can enjoy a roller disco, carnival games, temporary tattoos, sensory games and live music, alongside plenty of food and free memberships for the year ahead. Fundraising officer Hannah Clay said, "It's a really special place. It's definitely had a huge impact on young people in Wolverhampton. They develop new skills, they get an understanding of how to make friends and build a confidence they didn't have before. The Way provides a vibrant, exciting space for anyone aged 8 to 19 or up to 25 for anyone with a disability or additional needs. Young people have access to the centre's impressive host of different activities. They can take on the rock climbing walls, have a go in their purpose-built recording studio, and play a number of indoor and outdoor games. There's also a gym, basketball court, and boxing ring with volunteers who will train people how to use them so they can feel confident and secure."
Now it's time to hear from our ever-knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. I hope that this finds you as fit and as healthy as can be, because this week I found out some bits about food, which some of you may have noticed on by my occasional closing comments is a favourite thing of mine. Anyhow, let's kick off with this one. In 1795, the French military offered a prize for a method of preserving food for their troops. Appert won the prize of 12,000 francs in January 1810 by sealing food in jars. In the same year, British inventor Peter Durand patented his method of heating food to a high temperature, then sealing it in cans. The first can opener was invented by Robert Yates, a surgical instrument maker, in 1855. Up to then, cans had to be opened with a chisel or some such, and to date there are 3,000 types of can opener on the market. And canned foods do not spoil under normal conditions. Canned foods are amongst the safest convenience food available to the public. Canned foods are shelf-stable and can be stored up to 5 years or even longer at room temperature. And contrary to popular belief, the food is just as nutritious as fresh. Now then, baked beans are actually cooked inside the can. The raw beans are first soaked and blanched to soften them. Then they are sealed in the can and the sauce and secret spice blend and steamed to fully cook and kill any bacteria. And in a standard can of beans, there are 465 beans on average. Canning is a most environmentally method of preserving food. The metal in cans is endlessly recyclable, so it's important that it's saved rather than thrown away. Especially when you consider that each can could be recycled and be back on sale as another can in just 60 days. And if you've got nothing else to do, then try beating this one. Because the longest recorded time for a sitting in a bath of cold baked beans is 100 hours by Barry Kirk, otherwise known as Captain Beanie of Port Talbot, West Glamorgan. Barry's Beanathon was staged at the Aberavon Hotel from September the 11th to the 15th in 1986. Well, how about that then? And who would have thought that baked beans were cooked in the can? So that's another bit I would have lost. The can opener item reminded me of a tongue twister I was taught as a kid. It was from a can opener salesman and it goes like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee that my can opener can open any can that can be opened with a can opener. And if my can opener cannot open any can that can be opened with a can opener, I will give my can opener away free. Got it? It's good fun and one to teach your little ones. Well, I'm off for my lunch. But I hope it ain't beans though. Till next week then, I'll sign off. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Thank you for those fantastic facts, Roger. Up next, we now have Mina, who has for us a weather update.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly wet, windy and overcast, with temperatures hovering around 13 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:53 a.m. for the sunrise and 5:51 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 22nd of October, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees. On Saturday 23rd and Sunday 24th of October, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. And on Monday 25th of October all the way through to Thursday 28th of October, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. So that's your forecast for the week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Now we have our sportsman Ian giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian and here's your latest football news. Wolves completed a remarkable comeback from 2-0 down to snatch all 3 points against Villa in the West Midlands derby, with a stoppage time free kick from Ruben Neves the decider. In a goalless first half that Villa largely dominated, Danny Ings had one good opportunity saved, while Wolves almost took the lead through Adama Traore. The visitors, however, did not come alive until the last 15 minutes of the half. Early after the restart, Ings headed the hosts in front before a deflected John McGinn made it 2 and seemingly secured the 3 points with Wolves struggling. But a Romain Saïss stab from close range gave the visitors hope, and with a late scramble of a goal from skipper Connor Cody, Wolves achieved what seemed an impossible comeback. From there, the game looked destined for a draw, which Wolves would have certainly taken. But late into stoppage time, the unthinkable happened. Neves stepped up for a free kick from 25 yards, and after a deflection wrong-footed goalkeeper Emi Martinez, it trickled into the far corner to hand Wolves all 3 points. Afterwards, Bruno Lage thanked Wolves for giving him the opportunity to become manager so he could experience special days like the incredible 3-2 comeback win against Aston Villa. He said, "This is why I wanted to come to the Premier League, and I thank Wolves for giving me that chance. That is the kind of game I want to live in my career.
I live some days like that at Sheffield Wednesday as assistant, and they are the kind of days I want to live in my career. I thank Wolves for giving me that chance. Today is a good day for us. It was a good game. We played the game we expected to play, where one team has the ball and they had good chances. No one deserved to lose. Wolves next face a trip to Elland Road to take on Leeds this coming Saturday. An outstanding goal from Carlan Grant saw Albion beat Birmingham and claim the bragging rights in a keenly contested West Midlands derby. The forward netted his fourth goal in as many games to secure the points and lift the Baggies back to the top of the Championship table. In what, overall, was a match lacking in quality, both teams struggled to create clear-cut chances. Following a drab first half, midfielder Ivan Sunjic hit the bar for Blues. Then, after Grant's goal, Kyle Bartley saw a header from a corner well saved by Matija Sarkic. But on a night where endeavour and grit were the main qualities on display, one moment of genuine class was enough to win it, with Grant ferociously finding the corner with a strike from 20 yards. Afterwards, Valerian Ismail spoke of his satisfaction at a job done after Albion secured the derby bragging rights by beating Blues. It was important to win the game, Ismail said. It was a difficult game. We knew exactly when you see the stats before the game. Birmingham have conceded 12 goals in 5 games, and we knew they'd change something. That was my expectation. They came for a clean sheet, to take a point, to waste time, to frustrate. It was important to stay calm and to continue putting the pressure on. I said to the guys at halftime, we need to do it better. We need to move the ball quickly, to have quick free kicks and throw-ins, to raise the intensity in the game. We have the quality to score at any moment, so be patient. Even if it's 90+, we know we can score at any time. And tonight it was the case. I'm delighted after the goal. It was much better. It gave a second breath to the crowd, the players. We managed the game very well. The Baggies next face a midweek encounter away at Swansea City before taking on Bristol City at home this coming Saturday.
Thanks for that, Ian. Up next, we have Ed, who brings us Sounds of Nature.
The hobby is a small falcon, smaller than a kestrel. With their long wings and streamlined shape, they are perfectly evolved for catching dragonflies and small birds, such as house martins and swifts. They are a migratory species, coming to the UK in summer to breed and wintering in Africa. Hobbies can be seen hunting over heathlands, flooded gravel pits and woodland edges. The hobby is slate grey above and pale below, with black streaks on the belly and brick red trousers. In the air it looks like an oversized swift.
This recording was made by Lawrence Shove and was made available by the British Library. Up next, we have the return of Craig's Black Country Joke Book.
Hello, I'm Craig and I'm going to tell you some jokes from my Black Country Joke Book. A little chap had been out with a day with his father. When he got home, his mum asked, "Well, did you have a good time at the zoo?" "Smashing," said the lad. And Dad wore off shuffle and when was kind of 40-1. Here's another one for you. My mate is so saft, he thought Dudley Port was a new type of wine. And finally, I reckon my dad must have been in the police orchestra, because he used to always knock on the door and ask where he's hidden in the loot. I'm Craig, and that was my Black Country joke book.
Thanks for those, Craig. Up next, we have Mina, with the answers to this week's quiz.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. Which country offered a prize for preserving food for their troops? And the answer here is France. Question 2. In what year was the can opener invented? And of course, it was 1855. Question 3. How long is canned food expected to last? And the answer here is up to 5 years. Question 4. How many beans are there on average in a standard tin? And the answer here is 465. Question 5. How long does it take on average to recycle a can? And of course, it's 60 days. And finally, question 6. What was champion bean sitter Barry Kirk's nickname? And the answer here is Captain Beanie. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a passing steam train. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Tanya, who has for us an article about Apple Day.
Hello, this is Tanya with an article about October's Apple Day. Although it sounds like an historic festival, Apple Day was only introduced 31 years ago by the community conservation charity Common Ground. The aim is to encourage local areas to come together to celebrate the autumn and raise awareness of the importance of local produce. Apple Day began in October 1990. It is a traditional annual celebration of the humble apple and of other fruits grown in orchards such as plums and pears. The apple plays a large part in the richness and diversity of landscape ecology and culture. There are many varieties of the fruit grown in different regions across the British countryside, with each variety growing well in different areas because of soil types and climates. At this time of year, apples are ready to be picked and stored for use during the winter months, made into cakes, chutneys, jams, or pies, or just eaten. Apples can be used for drinks such as apple juice and ciders. With all the fruit ripening in a short space of time, it is not unusual to find seasonal stalls outside houses with their own apple trees. Often money from these sales will be used to maintain the orchard for the coming year or donated to a local charity. Apple Day celebrations usually take place in community orchards or on village greens, and Morris dances and Mama's plays may be part of the celebrations, but apple-themed activities are also popular, with each area devising its own way of celebrating. Children may try apple bobbing or take delight in peeling apples so that they have no breaks in the peel. The person who has the longest complete peel is the winner. Apple printing can be done using shapes cut out of a peeled apple, and there can be displays of pictures and paintings of orchards or of apples. For the green-fingered, local gardeners or farmers may answer questions about their local crops of apples in gardeners' question time style. This year's Apple Day is the 21st of October, and just for fun, Jane has written an alphabet of words associated with apples, orchards, and Apple Day. I hope you enjoy it. A is for apples. B, bobbing, bees or blossom. C, for cider, celebrate, community, or cake. D, for displays. E, ecology. F, for folklore or food. G, grafting. H, healthy habitats. I, for identifying. J, for juice or jam. K, for kitchen. L, for like or longest peel. M, Mama's Players or Morris Men. N, for Newton. O, Orchard or Organic. P, Pollination, Poems, Peel, Pies or Picking. Q, Question Time Quiz. R, Rare Species or Rain. S, Seeds or Soils. T, Trees or Tasting. U, Urban Orchards. V, Varieties. W, Wassailing or Wildlife. X marks the spot in a treasure hunt about apples. Y, Yeast or Year. Z, Buzzing Bees.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!